a show. February 14th, 2025 in video game news. We're talking Okami 2. We're talking Marvel Rivals. We're talking Final Fantasy remakes. We're talking Astrobot and more. Welcome to Super Gamecast Daily. This is your place for video game and video game industry news. My name's Aaron. I'm joined by Bronson. How you doing, bud?
Sore. Very sore.
Still sore, huh?
Sore, but not just because of the workout, because last night when taking out the garbage, it was raining, and I slipped and fell forward flat on my face and my chest.
Oh, no.
Where I was already sore. So it's just like,
everything you hurts think your now. Chest.
Yeah, like just the worst. But my girlfriend and I had an amazing Valentine's Day date today. And
hell yeah.
I ate some delicious four cheese pasta and ate chocolate, and it's been great.
That's fantastic. Yeah. As a single person, this is chocolate day. This is where I get random chocolates just showing up. And I'm like, all right, fantastic.
Yeah. I'll get random chocolates, but I didn't get pretty sweet chocolates either. So I'm here for it.
You pulled up a box. That's like a proper box.
Yes. She got a box from one of Reno's many hipster chocolate places that have popped up over the years.
There was a time where you would go to, like, if you wanted fancy chocolate, there was a See's chocolate next to a Men's Warehouse by, like, the Smiths and Sparks. It was like, I don't know, man. There's no hipster chocolate place. That's wild. Oh, Reno. What a place now. Anyway, while we're enjoying our chocolates and enjoying Valentine's Day, it's time to fall in love all over again with one of our... the subjects of one of our news stories, which is Okami 2 was revealed at the Game Awards. And it's in active development right now after Hideki Komiya left Platinum and was like, all right, I got to figure something out. And everyone's like, yo, dog, Okami 2. And Capcom was apparently like, yo, dog, Okami 2.
And Kamiya's like, why'd you do this for a while?
yeah. So IGN did a full-on interview. They got this like nice little video here, and just a bunch of questions. So what did we learn from this?
So the first thing we learned, it was a two-hour interview where they went to Clover and Machine Head Works and kind of went around and did stuff. But the first thing is they are using the RE engine, which is the Dragon's Dogma, Monster Hunter, Street Fighter engine.
The best engine out there, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, except for some reason, it seems on PC to be weirdly CPU bound.
Yeah. Yep. But like the end result of what they put out there is just some of the most insane looking video games I've ever seen. Especially when it comes to making people.
When you look at Resident Evil 4, Street Fighter, or Dragon's Dogma, you're like, holy shit.
Yeah. Yep. Interesting for them to do it with Okami, but I guess I'm not that surprised either.
That's a Capcom game, right? Like, one thing they said is because of the capability to help project the leads, realize elements of their vision for the first Okami they couldn't do before with past technology. That said, a number of those at Clover don't have any experience working with it, which is where Capcom's partner Machine Head Works comes in. Mm-hmm.
Which that has some ex-Platinum people there as well. So it's a little bit of a reunion happening with the old Okami devs. So... going to work on that chocolate, huh?
Sorry, it had caramel in it, and it fucked me up real good.
Oh, fuck. Yep.
Anyway, that aside.
Yes.
And the one thing I am curious about is like how. I guess I've seen it in Street Fighter. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the only game that I've seen the RE engine do like poppy colors and a bunch of shit like that going on.
Hmm. Okay.
Which, if you've ever played Okami, that is like the most colorful goddamn game in the universe.
Its art style is very much a big draw for that, franchise game. you know.
Yes.
Yeah, it'll be nice to see. The trailer looks super nice. I know that's not RE Engine, but it seems they understand the assignment.
We're going to get to that later, but I'm just like, I almost kind of am mad they revealed it this soon, because I know that this feels like a Bayonetta 3 thing, where the trailer gets revealed in 2017 and the game is out in 2022.
Yeah.
This feels like this is revealed in 2024, but it's not coming out until like 2028, 2029.
Literally, this trailer says Okami sequel, which I totally forgot it just said Okami sequel. Like, was this just a way of saying, yo, dog, we got Kamiya. It's all good. Everything's good. They didn't need to make a trailer for that. But like, I don't know.
Like, I'm ecstatic that it exists.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I'm also like, I really hate when games are announced far too soon. Like, I fucking can't stand it.
It's something that, like, we talk about it every time when E3 happened, and we do it with Game Awards and Summer Games Fest, is when if you're going to show a trailer, but you're not going to show gameplay, then, like, I understand wanting to get the word out and build up anticipation, but I feel like there's too long, and that happens a lot. Well, and it doesn't necessarily negatively impact. It's just like, for us, it's like, well, okay, I don't know. This looks cool as a concept, but I don't know if the game looks any good because I haven't seen it.
The one that is always going to stand out in my mind forever was E3 2014. Was like, a lot of people got the E3 of dreams because a bunch of crazy shit was announced. And I was in the goddamn press conference. Like, I was in the crowd when they announced Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't hear shit in that room.
Mm-hmm.
It was deafening, the cheers.
Right.
And then the game is not out for 6 fucking years.
Yep.
And it's just like, that's when, like, I started to get, that was the E3 that got me jaded, where I'm like, if you don't give me at least a release window and some gameplay, I am just, do not give a shit anymore. That was the game that tipped me over.
So, yeah, I totally sympathize, I guess empathize with that feeling of, like, I would like to not be teased about this. I'm not going to get my hopes up about something so far away. At the end of the day, though, I think it doesn't negatively impact them from a financial standpoint, unless they show gameplay and it just looks like crap.
I think that the thing is, like, I don't think this one's necessarily as bad either, just because, like, Okami is such a cult hit that, like, it's very much like, oh shit, they're doing another one? That is a miracle on its own.
Mm-hmm.
That is worthy of an announcement. But, like, bro, did you really need to announce, like, some of these games this soon and never hear from them for years on end? Yeah.
That there might be some, like, rhyme and reason to it.
I'm trying to remember when we got that Perfect Dark teaser trailer.
Fuck, man.
When was that damn thing?
I don't remember anymore. I put that game out of my mind after, like, yet another news story of, like, oh, this got they started development on this.
They started development in 2018. We got a teaser in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And then we finally got a gameplay trailer last year. Mm-hmm. With no date, mind you. Just, yeah, it's still kind of early. This is what it looks like, though.
We haven't canceled this.
Anyway, before I get further mad, Okami, so they talked about, hey, ex-Platinum devs on it. Mm-hmm. You know, they asked if people like Shinji Mikami, you know, the Resident Evil guy, are working on it. Mm-hmm. Or Tenari and others from Platinum would be joining the project. They wouldn't get specific, but he did allude to previous ex-Platinum folks working on Okami sequel via Machine Head Works.
Yeah.
But we're going to have to wait to see who it is.
Right. Yeah.
So Capcom's wanted to do this for a while. In short, Capcom hasn't been as down on Okami as we might think. Though the game initially sold poorly, it saw sales growing over time with each new platform release, caused Capcom to take notice, and the publisher has been thinking a sequel for some time. However, Capcom producer Hirabashi explains they needed to have certain key people in place, and it took a bit of time for the stars to align with Kamiya and Machine Head Works. One, good on them for, like, not just being like, fuck it, we're making it with new people.
Right.
Like, that very well could have been the reality, is like, fuck this, we're making it with new people.
Yep.
So that's the first thing. The second thing that comes to mind here is I'm glad that game got its sales over time. Because I remember that game came out in 2006. And it beat Zelda at being Zelda, was kind of the consensus on it, critically, but it sold like crap.
Yep.
And then the Wii version came out and it picked up a little bit, but I didn't start people like talking about this game until like they did the PC and PS4 release, which was after the PS3 HD release, which is what I put most of my time with it into.
Right.
It is a direct sequel. It says, you never know these days, right? Capcom explicitly announced Okami sequel. They said it could have been anything, but during IGN's interview here, they confirmed it is a sequel, directly picking up where the first game left off. That game kind of ends, not on a cliffhanger, it does have a satisfying ending, but it does leave room open for, like, a bunch of stuff to happen.
Right.
So
that's good. All right, so we're getting a direct sequel, that's nice.
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah, it seems like your question.
Yeah, I was just looking, so we got, let's see, there was a direct sequel. There was a mention about Okami Den. Oops.
Yeah, that game was a DS follow-up to Okami, but it wasn't kind of as popular. And then the feedback is, you know, it just wasn't as big. And this is a continuation of base Okami, not from Okami Den.
Right.
So
the question I'm having here is, okay, so they made Okami. It did not sell well, but it has had momentum build. People are excited about where Hideki Kamiya is going, what he's working on next. Okami's name has built over time. And so this leads me to believe, like, the reason they announced so early is, like, it's going to take a while, but, like, get the hype machine going because we want this to sell. So we need this name to get out there and, like, you guys talking about this as much as you can so that we can get the maximum output when we roll out the marketing team, you know, however many months before release.
The thing is like, I don't know how beneficial that's going to be. I get it.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
I
don't have those numbers. I don't know.
And we also don't know how far out this is. Because, like, I mean, you can go play original Okami, and it frequently goes on sale for, like, $5, dude.
Yeah. Yep.
You know? Why, like, one, I highly recommend everyone does that. It's one of the best games that you could play, period.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. The art style is absurd. The story is great. You know. But yeah, so I think that I don't know, like, it just feels soon, but on the other hand, it's like, yeah, you want to build hype, but I don't know how you do that besides, like, we put it out again on PS5 and Xbox Series.
Yo, dog, tell everyone to play this. Play it.
Yeah. Yeah, like I would tell everyone, you should play Okami. You should. That is if you like action adventure games, Okami is a dope game. And that game scales up to pretty graphics real well. Like, that was one, that is one of the games that, like, when you see that running on a good 4K monitor, it is a real holy shit moment.
Nice. This talk of, like, trying to get people to play Okami 2 while it's at, like, low discounts to try and build hype for the next game makes you wonder how a Sleeping Dogs 2 would do.
That's a good question. I know that, like, one thing that I appreciate that a lot of Japanese developers do is they're willing to, like, build on, like, a franchise that's just doing okay. Like, you look at, like, what Monster Hunter was to what it is now, or you look at Dark Souls, or you look at, like, these games that, like, sell enough to make their money back, and they go, eh, we'll greenlight a sequel and see if it does better, and, you know, get the bar moving. You don't see that as much out of American studios, especially now.
Right.
Like, nowadays, an American studio, oh, it didn't do well? Let's go shoot it in the face.
Right, yeah.
Versus you go and you look at, like, you know, like, the first Demon Souls did fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, the first Monster Hunter also did fine. You know, but then you saw these games progress into being Elden Ring and Monster Hunter World that are, you know, selling 20 million plus copies. And I think Capcom, or Dragon's Dogma, like, the first one did okay, and the second one, and it built over time. Like, it sold up to 3-4 million over time. And then, oh, the second one sells 3 million right at the gate. I think that they're hoping for a similar result here.
Yes.
And I hope they're right, because that would be awesome. Yeah.
This got me thinking. You were talking about giving a franchise a chance. I was thinking about a certain game that got bought by someone else and turned into something big, which was a little game called Red Dead Revolver.
Yeah.
I forget who the original developer of that game was, but that was an entirely different thing.
Yeah, that started out as, God, Rockstar San Diego.
Well, it was a Rockstar thing. Okay.
Yeah, like, that was Rockstar San Diego, and then, like, it did okay. It was a neat idea. It was Angel Studios, which would then become Rockstar San Diego.
Was it under the same ownership, like, or were they just purchased?
They were purchased. Like, it was originally funded by Capcom originally.
Oh.
And they were the team that helped port Resident Evil 2 to the N64. And then Capcom announced in March of 2002, development was troubled, partially due to cultural differences between the two companies, and the game remained unplayable. And then Take-Two Interactive, parent company of Rockstar Games, announced they acquired the studio and moved them under the Rockstar label. And then the Hauser brothers were like, motherfucker, we got this, don't worry. I think it was all right. The first Red Dead Revolver was all right.
I enjoyed that game for what it was. I thought its unique mechanic was cool, and then they carried that mechanic. And that was, like, the one thing that carried over was that key mechanic into...
Yes.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, and I think that this is something more studios need to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that they're afraid to do it because games are just such big money pits now.
Exactly.
You know, like...
Yeah.
Like, there are such massive, like, bets, right? Like, that's the thing. It's like, there's such massive, massive bets. And they can't have a game be like Red Dead Revolver, where it's like, yeah, they're all right. It sold fairly well. It sold good enough. We'll bring light a sequel. It's like, no, this game needs to sell 4 million copies or we're burning the studio to the ground.
The 2000s were a simpler time.
The budgets were a lot smaller. But, like, yes. Last year, you had that Prince of Persia game come out, and that it was a great Metroidvania, and then, like, it sold over a million copies, and they're like, this didn't do enough. All right, we're not gonna lay you off, but you're getting put in the Assassin's Creed Far Cry salt mine forever. GG's.
Enjoy.
Oh.
I hate that. That shit happens to games that are successful. Like the Tony Hawk team made that amazing remake, and then they're like, all right, you're helping with Call of Duty now. It's like, what?
Right? Fine. Because like it's in the West especially, it is a winner take all experience right now.
Mm-hmm.
Where it is that exact thing where you're gonna have that thing where it's just like, this needs to sell insane amount of money or we can't justify it.
Yeah.
Because we need quarter on quarter gains.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And if it doesn't hit those numbers, the studio is done, stick a fork in them.
Right.
Versus, you know, Japan likes to play the long game. Mm-hmm. They're not immune to investor bullshit. Don't confuse it.
Right.
They're not immune to it. But they are a lot more willing to tell investors, look, be patient.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads to them willing to go look at their catalog and be like, oh, we think we can turn this into something. You know?
Yeah. It's what makes me worried about Capcom is that, you know, there's a rising action, there's a falling action. And Capcom has been hitting it out of the park consistently. The fact that they've been looking at No Kami 2 and have been waiting for the right people to get in suggests that they still have the right idea of how to go about things. But, you know, number need to go up. And I'm waiting for it to poison it.
I know. They've been on a hot streak for so long, right? Like,
yeah.
They've been on a 7 and going on 8-year hot streak, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they started with Resident Evil Village, and then they fixed Street Fighter V, and then they went on to do Resident Evil, or not, they didn't start with Resident Evil Village, they started with Resident Evil 7, and they did Resident Evil, and then they went on to fix Street Fighter V, and then a little hiccup with MVCI, but then they had Monster Hunter World, and then after Monster Hunter World, they did Resident Evil Village and the Resident Evil remakes. And, you know, they're trying new IP, like they did that strategy Konitsugami game,
mm-hmm,
that was like had Okami stuff in it. And they've been doing these, quite frankly, amazing collections and remasters. And, you know, we can't confirm, you know, Monster Hunter Rise was well received. And, you know, we don't know if Monster Hunter Wilds is great yet because, you know, we haven't played it. But like,
right.
I've played the full version, we played the beta, but like they've been on kind of an insane hot streak.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like kind of like this, I can't, you know, you look at like Resident Evil 4, Dragon's Dogma 2, like even their collections are great. The Marvel vs. Capcom collection. You know, they're experimenting with new IP, Exo Primal and Konitsugami.
Yep.
Like they are doing exactly what you want out of a AAA publisher. You know, the joke that always goes around is the cap gods are back. You know, and right. DMC5 was in that fucking run. I almost forgot about that.
Yep.
And I am concerned what you mentioned. It's just like, all right, when's the run stopping?
I am firmly in Capcom's corner. What they're doing is absolutely fantastic, and they've been doing it for a while now, and they have so much room in front of them to keep going, both in terms of just IP and just like just how they've been handling things. It's just, you know, it seems to poison things. Things go bad at some point. Someone comes along and says money is more important in the short term and screws the gravy train. And so what does that look like for Capcom?
Which is,
I don't know.
Which is crazy, because when you look at the trend of like Nintendo and the PlayStation games that sell well, and even the live service games that do well,
mm-hmm,
if we make a good product that is priced reasonably well, it doesn't even need to be priced well, just reasonably well. Marvel Rival skins are kind of pricey.
Yeah.
You know, and like, don't try and screw over the customer, it'll be great.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be great. It's make insane a good game.
Was it just yesterday's story where Embracer Group's like, this is a good reminder that making good games is good.
I remember talking with Lucy on that story, and I was like stunlocked because I was just, I
choose to believe that again, this is like trying to talk to the money people, and like, I don't want to talk to you like you're an idiot, but I need to explain a simple concept that you should have known being in the games industry.
It's like, could you imagine like a car manufacturer, or like, could you imagine Apple coming out and being like, sometimes we need to be reminded we need to make a good phone. Like, imagine like Google or Samsung coming out and saying that about their product.
Yeah, this is all happening in the same week that we're getting Bobby Kotick throwing mud at John Riccitiello, and it's just like, you're all making lots of money and you're both terrible. You're just bad. And
you know what? I will actually defend John Riccitiello in that instance.
Mm-hmm.
I will defend the man, because John Riccitiello tried to greenlight a bunch of new IP. He's the reason Dead Space and Mirror's Edge got the okay.
Yep.
By the way, versus Bobby Kotick just looked at any gravy train that sold well and fucking hitched himself to it. And I will. And the three examples that he cited in that goddamn fucking interview was, one, oh yeah, we looked at Guitar Hero, and like, I was like, really? Because Red Octane published the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's not you.
Yep.
It's like, oh yeah, World of Warcraft. Yeah, Blizzard, you bought them
exactly
when their third expansion was out.
Yep.
You fuck it, and they were in financial trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Call of Duty, which you did publish the first Call of Duty. I will give them credit. However, those dudes were massively successful with Medal of Honor, and they want to do a future game, and you said, okay, if you make World War II, two World War II games, we'll let you do a future game. And like, okay. And you took that deal, I'll give you credit for that one, but it's not like you fucking went out and developed this amazing talent, Bobby Kotick. You found two guys and a team who was already very talented and wanted to leave the current company.
And then you screwed those guys over, and then they got picked up by EA and have put together fantastic games ever since that you lost out on.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Titanfall and
Apex Legends.
Jedi
Apex Fallen Order.
And Jedi Survivor.
Yep.
Yeah, like, yes. Fucking
good job, dude.
Ugh. Fucking shitty goblin man.
John Riccitiello has done some heinous shit. Two notable examples,
yes.
But yeah, no, you're right. Well, and you brought that up, like, Kotick is his reign over Activision sucks so hard, and I hate seeing him in the news.
Fucking shitty goblin man that I have to be reminded of your existence every time I watch Moneyball.
That was the same day we also had to cover the State of Play, which had Randy Pitchford doing an E3-esque bit showing off Borderlands 4. I'm just like, God, these people.
Other massive noted piece of shit, Randy Pitchford. Applause.
Just keep your head down and make good games. That's all you gotta do, man. Making games is hard. Okay, that's hard on its own, but like, you know, some people make it harder than it needs to be.
And I said this, there was an old video, and I talked about it with Lucy when that news story came out, where Yahtzee put out a video that said, just put out games that are well-made, original, and reasonably priced. Mm-hmm. And Anthony and I added on to that, that are marketed reasonably well.
Mm.
And that's it. The rest will take care of itself. It may not be the insane bajillions of copies off the bat.
Right.
It may be an Okami thing where it comes over time. But, like, you want to know how you get to the point of having, like, Monster Hunter sell 28 million copies? You have like eight other monster hunters before it started at 300,000 and then 1 million and then 2 million and then 4 million and then 8 million and then 12 and then you hit 21. That's how you do it. Same thing with Dark Souls. Same thing with, you know, almost very few IPs started out just going like gadoosh, 5 million.
Yep.
And if they do, it's typically from you know, it's from a studio that's very well established and already does cool shit all the time.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
Oh, Witcher's another one. Witcher. Like Witcher 1 did okay. Witcher 2 was fairly popular. Witcher 3 exploded.
Yeah. Yep. Gotta build on it. We gotta find the good ideas and build on it. You know, that's not brain dead, you know, easy. Like you need people who are experienced with video games to do that. It's just it's something that the money people in the industry like just are missing aspects of that is basics for the developers and the people who are directly working on these games. Just frustrating.
Yes.
So yeah, Capcom, keep doing what you're doing. Okami 2's coming. Who knows when? Sometime.
2029.
But play Okami. That's what we gotta say. Play Okami you between
should.
Now and
that,
then.
That is a great game. Everyone should play it.
Yo dog, do you like remakes?
Sometimes.
Well, what do you think about two more Final Fantasy remakes?
Depends on how they handle it, but I'd be pretty down for that, depending on which ones.
Okay. Well, it sounds like we, according to leaker Nate the Hate, who has been doing pretty well recently, to the point where Video Games Chronicle is now watching their Twitter feed, we're looking at a Final Fantasy IX remake and a Tactics remake.
So Tactics is largely considered one of the best games ever made.
Right.
I am not of that mindset. I'm not a big fan, but I get why people like it.
Sure.
And then I think Final Fantasy IX is the best Final Fantasy on the PS1. So right. The thing is like I don't think you need to change any of the gameplay, and that is my big concern. I was like, if they do that, they're gonna pull a Final Fantasy VII remake where they try and give it like real time ish combat.
Yep,
and a bunch of stuff like that. And I'm just gonna be.
They seem
super
full
annoyed
on in that direction,
it.
Regardless of whatever criticism for it. It seems like that's just the way they're gonna go.
Yeah, and you know I get it because it's popular, but I also,
here's a thought. Neither of us are game developers, so I don't know how difficult this would be. But what if you have that, but then you also have the option to play it turn-based style and you use the characters and the animations, like combat animations and things like that, but they slide in and there's the background image and they're just doing the Final Fantasy turn-based thing. I wonder how hard that would be. Would you want that?
I think that no, because I think that it would just kind of end up kneecapping them both because they couldn't focus on design. I could be wrong, but you know that's where my opinion that is.
That makes sense. It's a whole other thing.
Also, in a world where like Baldur's Gate 3 did really well, and you know the Persona games did really well, and Dragon Quest 3 did really well, I don't get like this fear that Square Enix still has of like we need to go away from the turn-based thing, we need to get away. And it's like Dragon Quest 3 just sold a bajillion copies.
Is it a fear?
It's what it feels like, because like they just like outside of remakes or like not even remakes, like you know those pixel remasters.
Yeah,
like it feels like they just hate doing it. They don't want to do it.
Yeah,
they just fucking can't stand it, and I don't know why. Because like that's where all of those franchises except Kingdom Hearts started.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand. I don't get it. And it's not like turn-based games do poorly. Like, once again, the Persona games sold great. The, like, Baldur's Gate is turn-based, and it's one of the best-performing games of recent memory.
Right.
Oh, Pokemon! Jesus Christ!
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't think, like, you know, I don't think turn-based matters fucking at all.
Well, so that's why I don't. Like, that's why I don't. I suspect it's not fear, because in a world where Persona 5 is coming out and doing what it's doing, like, I don't think that's it. And or maybe it started as that, but I don't. I don't think that's it anymore. I don't think you choose action based in 2025 because of that. I could see they chose out of fear before. They felt like we need to rejuvenate Final Fantasy after being in this slump post, you know, 10. That's the way they've gone to it. And now they're like, they want to commit to the decision.
I guess. And like, I don't know. Cause like, I look at all those games after 10 and I'm like, all of the combat in every one of these, except 16, is bad.
Hmm.
The combat in 12 is the world's worst pseudo MMO I've ever played. 13 is a 2-button game that plays itself. 15 is a bad character action game. 16 is good. It just takes 15 to 20 hours before you have your full set of tools. But like, it's good combat once you have your full set of tools.
The classic Final Fantasy problem.
Yes, you know. So it's like, God damn it, dude! I'm just, I like want to rip my hair out with this, and you know, both things prefer action combat. I get it.
Yeah,
I understand. I personally don't give a shit. But, you know,
I wonder if there's a, I wonder if you go turn-based, I wonder what that does for, well, I was thinking development costs, but I don't know. I guess it depends on
how
they go about
it. It's probably infinitely cheaper for development costs.
I would think so. But again, I'm not fully sure on that. Just,
because then you don't have to worry, like, you control the camera angles. Like, you control, like, all kinds of shit with turn-based.
I guess it just depends on how they handle the open world aspect. There's definitely some things you don't have to worry about. You know, and there's a lot more moving parts with an action game compared to turn-based.
Right, and then there's, like, I think that, I don't know, I don't know. It's like those games do fine when they're turn-based, and I guess they think they can reach a broader audience, though.
Right. Which,
but
you know,
I'm also
in which, a world of Persona and Baldur's Gate 3. You know, is that necessary? Is that? Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
In a world
like,
where
it makes
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it seems like they're going to commit to the action combat for the entirety of Final Fantasy VII, which at that point, you know, if that does okay, then I don't see them changing for 9.
Yeah. Yes, I don't either. I think tactics, you can't, because of just the way that game plays.
Right.
Like, it's, you know, it's... It'd be like making a real-time Fire Emblem, like, you just can't. I can totally see them doing that for 9. The problem with 9 is, like, dude, if you just make that game with 3D environments and give it a little more direction, I don't think you and add voice acting and modernize the cutscenes. Like, it doesn't have a big list of things you need to fix.
It doesn't need a full-on remake. You can just remaster that. Like, give it a big old facelift. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they did. It's just that it needs, you know, some modernization in certain ways and voice acting and
right
whatnot. But, like, I think that you could very easily do some very cool shit with it. That's, you know, while still keeping turn-based combat, but, you know, we'll see. What they say about this, they said it's in active development, but it isn't expected this year, 2026.
They're seeing maybe not the 9 remake will launch in 2026, maybe.
Yeah.
So, and then who knows where Tactics is.
Yep.
So we'll see. The good news is that Final Fantasy IX, considered by many to be the best Final Fantasy, is going to get a remake, and we'll have millions of new eyes to look upon it. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got some. I'm a big fan of this news. I think this is good news for the people who make this game, Marvel Rivals. Is open to a Switch 2 release. So they're already in contact with Nintendo, and they're working on getting some development kits. I don't see why this wouldn't happen at this point.
I think that this is one of the smartest things for Nintendo and this company.
Yep.
This game is burning hot right now.
Yep.
And if you could get it to run on a portable console where you already have your Nintendo games, that could be huge.
Huge!
Because I get Robbie on Steam Deck, and it does well enough, but, you know, I've already told on this show and others my grievances with the portable PC market, which it requires a level of tinkering and tech support know-how that is kind of a pain in the ass for a handheld.
Yeah.
Like, it's not the end of the world, and it's certainly great for a lot of things. I love my Steam Deck. I do encourage people to get decks and allies, but it does require a willingness to tinker that the Switch 2 will obviously not need. And yeah, having what is currently, it feels like the biggest game in the world right now, be on their system, I think that could be a huge win for Nintendo.
That would
and be for this company.
Yes, that would be very huge. The combo of Rivals and a Nintendo console is terrifying, actually, to be honest. But
all the kids putting Spider-Man skins on the parents' credit card.
Yeah. See, there's the real. You could easily just like do a co-marketing thing. Here's a Switch 2 launch it. Well, it won't be launch edition, but here's a Switch edition of Switch 2 with Marvel Rivals already installed, and then you got Marvel Rivals on the box.
Yeah, there you go. See, do that for the holiday, and maybe you get some currency. Like, get here's like 20 units to buy a skin. Here you go.
So they got some dev kits, and they're trying to see if they can get it to perform well, which, knowing what the Switch 2 is, like, it should be able to perform well, but the reason they didn't release it on Switch 1 is Switch 1's not up to date.
Yeah, no, that you would try, you would like run the game, you'd throw the game in the compiler, and then the Switch 1 would just explode. It would just
That poor thing has been struggling with current releases, you know, from other consoles and other areas, like, just in this generation. So I think a release in late 2024 is a rough call for them. But
yeah,
this is a no-brainer and would be great for everyone, except for parents who don't control the credit cards on their consoles.
No. Which, so, Nintendo has tools for that, people. Come on, Mel.
Yeah, Jeff Gerstmann.
I love that story when he's just like, it happened to me.
It happened to me.
It happened to me. Like, my kid was pressing buttons and he ended up doing a purchase.
They make those menus they take advantage, man. Oof.
I don't have an accident. Like, I thought they would give me a confirmed screen, not on Switch, but on PlayStation. I thought they would give me like a confirmed screen. It's like, nope. You just get the one. You get the one confirmed screen, not the second.
Thanks for your money.
You know,
dick.
Thank you. Which it wasn't a big deal. It was like game for $10, but it was still just like, God damn it.
Man, you tricked me. Yeah. $10 is $10, man. That's no joke. Yeah, good deal for Marvel Rivals and Nintendo there. Looking forward to, I imagine that's going to go through just fine.
Yep.
Hey, DICE had their Game of the Year awards.
They sure did.
We can go over the full list, but hey, Astrobot won here as well.
Astrobot kind of cleaned house. Animation, it got technical achievement, it got family game of the year, it got game design, mm-hmm. it got in game of the year. Like, it seems like this and Helldivers 2 were like, and Indiana Jones were like all the ones that kept cleaning house.
Those are the ones that won like a lot of multiple, and Bellatro got a couple. Which I think is a fantastic list. Like, if you go look at the DICE like awards for this year and the winners and the categories, like, this is the most, like, yeah, you guys nailed the last year, I think.
I think that those are all games that anyone can play and enjoy.
I'm just gonna say,
I need my girlfriend to try Helldivers.
yeah, they're bugs.
Oh,
don't worry about it. They're you know, they're robots. Don't listen to their cries of agony and sorrow. They're fine.
Yeah, they're trying to destroy our way of life.
Exactly. Don't you understand?
Well, we got to do it for Super Earth.
For Super Earth.
Those fascist bugs come to stop us.
And their oil blood. I mean, it.
I mean, that sounds
like chubby as anything. Do I need you to be my nearest democratic officer?
No, I'm managing democracy. Don't worry about it. Good. I just want to take a moment here to mourn that the racing game of the year is F1 24, and that is not a slight at F1 24. I'm sure it's a great game. It's just
that is
racing used to be so much more in terms of like variety.
They got that Tokyo arcade racer that came out a couple weeks ago.
I bought it. I'm gonna check it out here in a little bit. When I'm not playing Monster Hunter,
there's a indie racing game that's out called Hot Shot Racing that seems pretty good.
Okay, all right, yeah. No, I love that we had that news story recently of like, hey, Criterion, the makers of Burnout, currently making Need for Speed. Why don't you stop making Need for Speed and not revive Burnout, and we're just going to do other stuff. Great. Damn, man, are you kidding me?
just kill me.
It's a sad state, and again, that's not a diss on F1 24. I'm sure that's a great game.
I think that game is quite good, and like, I played that new cruising game that came out.
There's a new one,
a cruising franchise. It was like 4 years ago, but yes.
Okay.
And it was on the Switch. It was all right.
All right.
It was all right. I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at with it. It's just like, the last time that I played an arcade racer that I was over the moon about was Blur.
Oh, man. Blur. Which, that was from a studio that was just in the news recently.
That's no longer exists. Yeah.
Thanks,
Bobby Kotick.
God damn
you
it,
horse's
dude.
Ass.
I will always remember that, like, it was like a couple months where we got Split Second, Blur, and Mod Nation Racers. And
it wasn't even a couple months, it was 2 weeks.
Was it 2 weeks? Okay, yeah.
It was 2 weeks.
And they were both like arcade racers. You would call, you know, Mod Nation Racers a kart racer, but you know, they're not Sims is the point. And they were doing different things and they were all cool. And then Mod Nation Racers, I think, got one or two more games after that, but they weren't like, it wasn't like a huge hit. And then the other two were just like, yeah, you die.
Yep.
Damn,
and,
man.
And to be fair, those releases were extra stupid because they came out the same like area as Red Dead, Mario Galaxy 2, and Alan Wake.
Yep.
So it's just kind of a murderer's row of releases. So
that's sad for racing. F124 is sitting at mostly positive on Steam, so that's just that's what it is for racing. I like a lot of these picks are fantastic. Makes a lot of sense. And Astrobot getting out there. I don't know. What I will say is it's not that I don't think they don't deserve any of the awards they won. I think they absolutely do. But it does make me wonder, like, I'm very curious about Split Fiction's reviews, how that comes out to people, because part of me is thinking, like, man, if I was a business person, I was looking for trends that are working for video games, what if we just got like simple platforming is not necessarily the essential bit, but it's like a gameplay style that can be modified to do different things so that it keeps the experience fresh throughout your gameplay, you know? Because we've had It Takes Two, which is what's led to Split Fiction, and It Takes Two was just fantastic, and Astrobot is a platformer, and it's a good platformer, but it was like, I don't know, they did a platformer that was very well made, and then they were just kind of varying it up, keeping it fresh as you go, and then there's PlayStation stuff in front of you. It's like...
The way I describe that game is it's Mario Galaxy 3. Like, it plays like Mario Galaxy. It has the same vibe with the outer space stuff. Like, it's... Yo, dog, they made Mario Galaxy 3. But with cute little robots.
Right. I would just be looking to... Here's simple gameplay that you'll understand. That anyone can understand. So anyone in the family to earn Family Game of the Year. And then just have a fresh, fun experience throughout.
It's almost like there's a studio that does mostly this and wins that award every year. It's almost like they exist. And they're the only one who's been doing it for like 25 to 30 years.
It's wild, man.
Weird. Wild.
Yeah. Yep. It's out there, you know? We're out here making live service games, and then here's just a platformer, and it's great.
I mean... Also, looking at this list, what it tells me is, yo, dog, if you make a licensed game that's really good, it'll probably do well. You know, that Indiana Jones game is one of the best games. After finishing it, especially, probably one of the five games, best games released last year.
Okay.
That game is... If you liked those goddamn movies, and you want an action-adventure game with some stealth elements... And the stealth is like pretty good.
Right.
Yeah. And then Helldivers 2, like, make a really good co-op game.
Yeah. And there are some live service games here that were winning. You know, you obviously got Helldivers 2. You got Tekken 8, you know, for fighting game of the year.
Yeah.
You know, MLB The Show. Do they do an Ultimate Team kind of thing? I don't know.
They do. They do. Okay. They have their fantasy baseball shit. But
you got your Animal Well. You got your Velatro.
Yeah, like, and here's the thing is, like, I am not inherently against live service.
Right.
I'm against everyone and their mother making only live service when you cannot keep a studio alive on just live service because it monopolizes your time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love Helldivers 2. That game is amazing. I haven't played it in 3 or 4 months.
Right.
Because I just... to have not had time because I've had other games and other shit going on.
Yep.
And to enjoy it, I need to play it with other people.
Yep.
Yeah. You know?
Exactly. Like, I love Marvel Rivals and I haven't had time. So, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I want to finish Space Marine 2 with you and Anthony. We're going to do that soon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, like, yeah, it's one of those things where it's just like you have limited time for these games that need constant engagement and money.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bad idea when there's a ton of competition because most people only do two at a time. maybe three. You might get some people do three. I know that I do have one friend who has like who's playing like 6-5 service games at a time and has a week like to be fair, he only works part-time.
Right.
But like just has a weekly checklist of his experiences. Ooh. And like is like, all right, I got my weekly chores done in this game, now I need to move to this game. I'm just like, brother,
ooh, all right,
ooh, doggy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to badmouth live service games, especially because as soon as this live service skate game comes out, y'all will lose me.
We're already setting up SGK Monster Hunter Days. So, you know.
Yes, we are. Yep. And so, my rival's still like, going, and I've got a group that's still doing Helldivers. And
like, I just got a message from my guild master, like, yo, dog, what you playing this season?
Ah, yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Which, we're making some schedule adjustments, which means I will be able to raid. So, yay.
Nice. Good. All right.
Anyway, last bit of news.
Yes. Congratulations to Astro Boy. Congratulations to Astro Boy, the wonderful anime.
Wonderful anime, highly recommend it. It's a go, for sure.
Avowed came out.
Yeah. Xbox being in the news again, huh?
Well, I mean, this is a big one. This was like one of the big ones for this year for Xbox.
Yes. So this is made by the people who made Fallout New Vegas. Mm-hmm. And it's made by they also did Grounded in the Outer Worlds. Mm-hmm. And it's not to say the reviews are bad. Like they're, it's just that they're very divided. Like you go like they have a good amount of people giving the game 60s, but then you have a bunch of people giving it 90s, and then a handful giving it 80s. So it like it's really split. I mean, it's averaging an 80, and then if you look at if you look at the reviews, it's on PC, it's averaging a 79.
Okay,
and when you go. Yeah, and when you go, when you read reviews, they vary from, how good they are. Like IGN said, a perfectly competent RPG that showcases Obsidian's writing and world building chops, but has little else to distinguish itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to VGC, they had some stuff to say about it. It just seems like it's kind of like they gave it a 4 out of 5 and said, Xbox fans waiting for Fable and Elder Scrolls 6 will find more than enough in Obsidian's role-playing game as their headline. They said, entertaining combat that allows for a variety of weapon combinations, well-written dialogue, for the most part with engaging companions, exceptionally detailed environments, a wide variety of side quests that are which are delightfully daft. Bad. No way to clean up side quests after beating the MSQ. Doesn't really revolutionize the genre.
I mean, you want to talk about the way this is being received. I wonder if this is one of those moments where it's like, here's something that can be, you can build something off of this. If the developer was down to try and expand on this and like here, take criticism to heart and we're going to take this IP and make something of it, this might be a good candidate depending on how the reviews shake out as this goes on.
Yes. And I think that this is a good candidate to do that because Microsoft doesn't have they need to get games on Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that is interesting to play and check out. So fuck it. Give it a shot. If you like it, great. I do think some reviewers are probably comparing it to recent Western RPGs like Baldur's Gate.
Right.
And it is causing some comparisons to be made that might be, I can personally consider kind of unfair.
Okay.
I think that Baldur's Gate is such an exception to so many rules,
mm-hmm.
that it's like kind of unfair to sit here and be like, well, can you make it more like this generational defining RPG?
Right. Yeah.
GameSpot kind of gave it one of the more stricter reviews, 6 out of 10, saying combat is satisfying with numerous weapons to try and experiment with. Visually inviting areas with engaging platforming that lets you exploit verticality. Choices and their consequences manifest in surprising but natural ways. But reliance on gear upgrades to keep up with enemy scaling is incredibly unbalanced and frustrating. Straightforward and uninteresting narrative that that doesn't offer interesting surprises. Companions are largely forgettable. So I'm hearing a lot of differing opinions on narrative and companions, for one. And then the one consistent I do keep hearing is like combat is sick.
Right, which is very intriguing to me.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's intriguing to you because you're someone who has been quick to criticize the likes of Skyrim for its combat. And that's because that's kind of what I was expecting this to be compared to is like...
Yeah, I was totally expecting to be like, you know, mediocre Western RPG combat. Like 100%.
Yeah, and Obsidian is known for their writing, so for the combat to be like a standout is really interesting.
Yeah, like I think Skyrim's combat is bad. I think The Witcher's combat is bad. Mm. I think Outer Worlds is okay. I think that Cyberpunk's was actually pretty good. I do think that Cyberpunk's is pretty good, but I think the vast majority of Western RPGs want to focus on this level of freedom and this level of immersion and choice, but it also leads to combat feeling like you're hitting everything with a Nerf bat and just it doesn't feel good. Mm. Like, you know how you feel about MMO combat?
Yeah.
That is how I feel about Western RPG combat, but even worse.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
Like, it's bad. It's really bad. It has no impact. I don't feel the skill expression. It feels like I'm trying the most efficient way to cheese the combat so I can get away from it. Yep. You know.
Well, this is on Game Pass, isn't it?
It is. It's so if you pay the money to get the ultimate fuck you, I'm a cool guy edition because I spent money, you can play it now. Which I think if you're a Game Pass member, that's $30, $20 or $30. And then if you wait until the 18th, or I guess technically the night of the 17th, it's available to everyone.
Okay.
I'm going to check it out.
Yep, we'll have to check that out because that's going to be a notable bullet point in this part of the history of Xbox. I feel like a lot of things are rolling in a certain direction for them, but this was one of those games that was like, all right, you got these developers, what are you going to do with them? And they decided to make a new IP, and I think that's always exciting to see. It'll be interesting to see. We'll give it a shot. But I think that does it for our show today for February 14th, 2025 in gaming news. Thank you so much for joining us for this. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned something from it. Hey, we're on social media. We're on Twitter. We're on Blue Sky. We're on Facebook. We're all those places, Instagram. You can find our video content on YouTube. We're going to be uploading clips there. We have a number of clips from prior daily shows that you can check out there in case you miss anything. We are on Spotify. We are on Apple Podcasts. If you want to catch the audio version, which you should, that's a nice, convenient way to get your gaming news. Otherwise, we're taking the weekend off. We're going to go play other video games such as the Monster Hunter Wilds beta. And then we're back Monday with more Super Gamecast Daily for your video game and video game news. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us. Have a wonderful weekend and we'll see you Monday. Bye.
Bye, guys.